the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email, if you like, my well-scrubbed companions. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right. Pleased to note that for the next, I don't know, whatever, segment of this program, I'm going to do my best to restrain my inner giddy schoolgirl as we welcome these two gentlemen to the program. Before we do that, this is what we call a Rick Emerson Guarantees. In just a moment, we're going to talk to two people who were part of a defining film that shaped the generation. They're going to be back this summer, and we'll talk to them next. In the meantime, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, who kind of made all of this happen. Scott, how are you, sir?
I am well, sir. How are you this afternoon?
I'm rolling, brother.
I'm just amazed that this actually happened today. A couple days ago, it was on the phone.
A couple days ago, you were dead to us,
exactly,
basically.
Because I never bring anything to
the
show.
You've just become dead weight on this program.
Yes.
You've become a millstone.
That's what I do.
But last week, you actually had a film to review, and then Scott Daly calls me like 2 days ago. I'm in a conference meeting. Department head meeting, and it's like, and you left me a series of increasingly frantic messages like, you gotta call me back now, you gotta call. And so I finally called him back, and he said, how would you like to have Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson on? And I'm like, but which, what, who are you talking about? Because it was one of the, I had like cognitive dissonance about it. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show in 1994, and there are no superlatives that I could use that have not already been lavished on Clerks and some of the following films from Kevin Smith. It is not an overstatement to say that I think it changed. I really do sound like that inner world guy. It changed the way a generation viewed film.
It really did. It really did.
I think if you were to point to two films that changed the way that a lot of people look at movies, you would either say Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and Clerks. And let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Clerks and the upcoming film Clerks 2, Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran. How are you?
Hello.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you guys for coming in. First of all, let me just ask the dumb radio guy question right out of the gate, just because it's the thing you've got to ask. But this is 1983 that you made Clerks? Is that correct? And it was out of 94. Am I right about that?
Yeah, we filmed in 93, and it went to the 1994 Sundance Film Festival and then got picked up and then distributed, I think, October of 94.
So when you guys are there with Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier and everybody, you're making this film, and when you were making the original Clerks, what was the best case scenario in your head at that time when you're there at the now legendary Quick Stop? You're making it. What in your head? What are you thinking was the best possible outcome?
I'd have a great little party video to show friends when I'm a little bit goofy and drunk.
I was just happy about stocking up on free baseball cards while in the convenience store.
Just able to like be stuffing crap into your bag.
Yeah, just grabbing Kit Kats and things like that.
Is that what passed for craft services? Just look away, and then like, and then the tasty cake goes right into the bag.
That was, but the sad reality was, whenever you took something, you actually had to write it down because we had to pay for it later. So
that is
the magic of film.
Was that part of the $27,000 budget for this film?
Yeah, no, we paid that ourselves.
Oh, that was your own, out of your own pocket.
Yeah, that wasn't the budget.
The Twizzler went right under the, there was a line item expense.
Yeah, exactly.
The only film that you're in where we actually paid to be in it. Like, makes no sense.
Well, that kind of leads me to a question I have. Now, I know, Jeff, that you were friends with Kevin in high school. Is that correct?
That is correct. Kevin and I graduated high school together.
Okay. And Brian, how did you get involved in Clerks?
Well, I was a stage actor beforehand. He had held auditions out of a playhouse that I'd worked out of. And the owner called me up a month prior saying these guys are going to be auditioning for extras in a film that they want to use the playhouse, and they want me to call the actors that work in the playhouse to come and audition. And a month went by. I totally forgot about it. He called me in a panic the next day, going, where were you? I thought you were going to come down. I was like, oh, is that last night? Oh, I totally forgot. Is there another night? They're like, yeah, tonight. I went down there, and I just put together this evil type of monologue, did this monologue, which you can actually see on the Clerks 10-year anniversary DVD, and right. He enjoyed what I did. He's like, too bad I don't have a villain in the film, but I'd love you to read for this part. And I read it. I didn't know what I was auditioning for. There was no scripts for us to look at. I could have been auditioning for porn, for all I knew.
That New Jersey porn.
That's next.
It actually kind of is in its own little
way. Clerks 3.
Yeah. And so he, I was supposed to, you know, I said, how many principals are there? He said six, but they're already cast. But when I read for him and then kept reading for him, he really enjoyed it, and he cast me as the Dante, the clerk.
The lovable Dante. Now, Jeff, I understand that you originally auditioned for the role of Jay.
I did. I went to the auditions. I didn't plan on auditioning. The original role of Dante was written for a friend of mine, and like I said, I knew Kevin, and so all my friends were sort of going to be involved in this film, and I went down there to make fun of my friend. I had a pea shooter, and while he was on stage auditioning, I was sort of pelting him with peas.
Does your friend hate you? Because you always
now he does.
It was like Johnny Depp. Isn't that how Johnny Depp got the role in Nightmare on Elm Street? He was like with some friend, and like Johnny Depp was like the ride down there. And there's like these guys like, I'm Ted. I'm here to audition. Like, screw Ted. Who's your friend? And like they bring in Johnny Depp, and like Ted is, you know, like Ted's working the Ted's a parking enforcer somewhere.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah, fantastic.
Excellent.
You just call him late at night. Go, hey, do you remember me? So
I'm like, I have to go. I'm about to do an interview. Bye.
I'm about to be photographed with Playmates. I'll try to call you tonight if I am not too intoxicated.
We're here around to it.
Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran from Clerks and Clerks 2. By the way, we'll give you a phone number if you've got a question, a comment, a query. If you just like to call in and squeal like a girl, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Clerks 2 comes out. Did it get moved? It was supposed to be, am I right about it? It was supposed to be August, and it got moved to...
It was supposed to be August, and now it is July 21st. We don't like to wait to the last minute to get out there and promote.
Somebody's asked me if it was because of the snakes on a plane thing, if they just thought that it would be too much fanboy for 1 month, like we would all just have an embolism.
Yeah, we thought that, you know, we had an advantage with Lady in the Water coming out. Like, you know what, a Philly movie, a Jersey movie, it should be that rivalry for the weekend box office.
Fantastic. How many years after Clerks does Clerks 2 take place? Is it real time? Is it 12 years? Is it?
Yeah, we filmed, I think it's 12 years that we filmed, but in film world, it's actually 10 years.
10 years. And this is, I mean, I guess we can talk about some of the stuff that's in the trailer. I don't want to give everything away, but you guys are you are still Clerks, but you are now working at, is it at a movies? Is that?
Yeah, it's the fast food joint in Kevin's new, View Askew World movies, which I think was initially, out with, Jay and Silent Bob and Dogma. And so we are now flipping burgers as opposed to peddling cigarettes.
And if people go see Clerks 2, are they going to recognize a lot of the other, people from, what everybody kind of calls the Askewniverse now, the sort of Kevin Smith world? Is there crossover with all of the films or?
No, the only four characters who really make their return is the Dante, Randall, and then, of course, Kevin as Silent Bob, and then Jay, Muse as Jay. And then the other characters, there's not really that many characters in this film, to be honest with you. Jason Lee shows up and plays a customer in a really funny scene. Ben Affleck literally, I think, has five words as a customer. And another employee in the movies is an actor who plays Elias by the name of Trevor Furman, who first was in Jeff's film, Now You Know. And then the manager of this fine establishment is Becky, who's played by Rosario Dawson.
Let's all pause to conjure up mental images of Rosario Dawson, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, there's the text.
She's calling already.
All right. Yeah, the restraining order's kicking in.
Now, I understand when Kevin approached both of you with the script of Clerks 2, that you guys were really like, do we really need to do this? Is this something we want to revisit? What were your initial thoughts when Kevin talked to both of you about Clerks 2?
Well, being a working actor, I was like, yeah, great. You know, more work for me. I was like, you know, immediately jumped on that. Jeff, you know, is the more sensible one out of the two of us. He had his reasons, like, you know, I don't know if we should be tackling this.
Yeah, it's like, it didn't seem to me that Clerks needed a sequel.
Yeah.
And it's kind of it's a weird movie that 10 years later, people still watch and watch over and over again. And I didn't want to mess that up.
Is there any worry about that? Is there any worry that people are gonna? I mean, because Kevin Smith has very, one might even say, freakishly devoted fans, and I count myself as one of them.
Do you
feel that pressure about, you know, that it's got to live up to this thing that has become, it's the iconography around Clerks is huge. Do you feel that pressure?
Well, yeah, the fan base is definitely two steps from Kool-Aid and the Nikes. So,
I wasn't going to say that. I'm glad you said that.
You definitely don't want to tick that fan base off. So, yeah, you know, you could totally ruin, if you come out with a really sad or lame or just horrible script, you know, you could totally ruin that nice, warm, fuzzy feeling that the first film gave them. And then the next thing you know, I mean, me and Jeff still get fan mail after all these years about those two roles that, you know, we always have kind words when people come up to us and quote lines from the movie. If we tick them off, the next thing you know, that whole warm feeling's gone. You guys screwed such a great film. Oh, you guys are idiots.
And you raped my childhood.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, then they're morphing your face over
Lucas.
I get
that anyway.
From actual children.
So, so, So how did it make you guys feel? I mean, this is an obvious question, but to get an 8-minute standing ovation at Con, did you both go to Con this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
when the curtains came up and people were down their feet for 8 minutes, that must have been amazing.
That was pretty freaky. I mean, the whole Con thing, we were there that week and a lot of the films that were there weren't getting received well.
Really?
So we were on a Friday, we had a midnight screening and, you know, Kevin, who had been there a couple of times, actually seemed nervous, and Kevin never gets nervous about stuff, so it was kind of a nerve-wracking thing, but when the movie ended and they were clapping and clapping and clapping, and
wow,
I thought there was something stuck on my head.
It's got to feel
so cool.
So funny.
Weird and great. Yeah, they got better reception than a Ron Howard film, because The Da Vinci Code was sort of, you know, they received that in a lukewarm fashion.
Yeah, and, you know, here it is, a French Queen movie got booed.
in France.
That's a rough crowd.
We're talking with, and then we're coming in with a donkey show. I don't know. It was a little daring, I think.
Once again, it is France, so.
They love that donkey, I guess.
They do indeed.
Send your letters to him, please.
Talking to Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran, Clerks 2 comes out July 21st. I have to ask this on behalf of somebody. There's a friend of ours, our friend Aaron, has a bet riding. How do I put this? This is the second bet of this nature today. He has a bet riding with a lady friend. And the bet involves men and women hugging each other in a very special way that sometimes they do when they're in love. And the question is about the sequence in Clerks when it is the sequence right before it is revealed that Caitlin Bree is going to be engaged. And Jeff, I believe you're there reading a newspaper. You're sort of leaning back with a newspaper.
Okay.
Am I right about that? And the question is whether you had your lines taped to the inside of the paper or whether it was all just part of the character reading the paper.
Oh, man. That one kills me. I had never had lines taped to the newspaper. That's just, I can't act.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, there you go. So I wonder who won that bet.
No, I believe that's Aaron.
Okay.
So, excellent.
Of course.
Let's get to Tony here. We're talking to Jeff Anderson, Brian O'Halloran. Clerks 2 comes out.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
What do you got, Tony?
I'm a really big fan of that movie, and there's a question I'm going to ask Jeff. The scene where you're like, there's like...
No, I wasn't reading.
The one with her child, and she's asking for a kid's film, and you're reading off all those dirty films, and...
The list of porn titles, right?
Yeah, and it's like, I gotta know, it's like, how many times did you have to read that scene over again without cracking up?
You know what's interesting about that scene is we were going into that scene, and we rehearsed it a couple of times, and those titles were actually written down. Those I didn't have memorized.
Was the kid there for all of them?
No, the kid wasn't there. I think Kevin wanted the kid there, but I asked for the kid to please go away.
That would be all kinds of weird reading that from a 3-year-old child.
Yeah, but when we were doing that scene, we had rehearsed it a couple of times, and I think he had like 8 titles written down on the page, and I was like, Kevin, you know, don't we get the idea after 4 titles? Is it really necessary to keep going with this? So he was like, give me the list back. So I gave him the list back, and he's like, yeah, we don't have to do all this. So we finished setting up the lighting and everything else, and we really only had 1 or 2 takes for this film. Like, we just didn't have enough film stock.
Right.
So we're getting ready to do the scene, and I got back in position. He goes, okay, you ready? Oh, in action. He handed me back the paper, and he actually added 4 titles to the list.
The Smithian way.
I learned to never speak up again.
We're here with Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran. Clerks 2 comes out July 21st. I know you guys are on a tight schedule today, but it would be remiss. The fans would, I think, lynch me later if I did not ask about, because there's been Clerks, now Clerks 2, Clerks the Animated Series, which is out on DVD, and there's Clerks the comic book, at least one line of comics, and there may be 2 titles, there's at least one. We've heard about a Clerks animated film or a series of films. Can you guys tell us what else is coming up in the Clerks world? What else are they going to be doing?
In recent interviews I've been with Kevin, when people give him that question, yeah, he is definitely going to make a Clerks animated movie, which will probably just go straight to DVD, but it'll be uncensored, and, you know, it'll be another series. And it's a, you know, the Clerks animated world is completely different. It has nothing to do time-wise or anything with the features. And so, he's saying something maybe around the start working on that in maybe like 2008 or so.
Excellent.
But he definitely wants to do it.
Well, I have to say, you guys are, in a way, it's sort of like, it's like a Jersey zoetrope kind of a thing. You know, and he's sort of, you know, is a coterie of guys who've been making movies in one, you know, and the lineups change slightly from film to film or from project to project. But I think people identify with Kevin and his films and with all of you guys, both as people and actors, because they see a group of guys who grew up, who knew each other, who are sticking together. and who are, you know, and they're doing what they're doing. Not to blow sunshine, but I mean, it's you guys, you make the projects you want to make, and clearly they all kind of come from the heart. And, you know, and there isn't a lot of, you know, you pander, but only in the best of ways.
You are blowing sunshine.
Fantastic. All right.
Rick brings up a really good point about how your characters have grown over 10 years in the film. It's really 12. Was it a challenge to come back to these characters 12 years later?
You know, what was great is that Kevin had included these characters in, you know, some of the other films, in Jay and Bob Strikes
Right,
Back.
Right.
We were able to do the cartoon series. That it wasn't really tough because it was almost like we were keeping in spring training form, you know, every couple of years. He'd bring us in and throw a couple of warm-up pitches with these characters, so to
right.
speak. And then, you know, we were kind of in shape. It didn't get us too far away to get into it. And that's the other thing. If we were in a lot more stuff, we would have been probably burnt out by now. So that the chemistry that, you know, the character of Dante and Randall have with each other was still that fresh and new type of thing. And the other thing is he wrote this great, you know, emotional expansion of these two characters that you never saw in the first film or any other type of the films that they showed up. And then you really get this surprise feeling, wow, like these guys really have a lot more going on than just not, you know, arguing about Star Wars.
Right. But people forget, I think, sometimes if they don't go back and watch it, how, in a way, touching that film really is. It's, you know, it is in the way that the best sort of guy films, to use that term loosely, they are about, you know, kind of it's like Shawshank, but in a store or something. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, Jeff Anderson, Brian O'Halloran, Clerks 2, it comes out July 21st. Is there anything else you guys want to pimp or whore while you're here? You can, this is a pimping zone, my friend. You can.
I'm just going to throw out one other thing, showing once again that Clerks is breaking ground. For this movie, and it's actually the first time it's ever been done in film, we recorded a podcast commentary that will be downloadable on iTunes and Clerks2.com.
Best thing I've ever heard.
You could load it onto your iPod. You go into the movie theater. It'll come out the week after the film opens, and you sync your iPod up with the opening credits, and you will be able to hear a commentary track.
Curse my metal body for not thinking about it.
While you are in the theater. It's never been done before in film, and I think it's going to happen all the time.
Okay, now I have to kill myself.
That is beautiful.
All right.
That's great. Obviously, you guys were involved in that, too, in the commentary.
It was Jeff and Kevin and Scott. I was on the East Coast at the time, so they weren't able to get me out there, but it's amazing. So when you start seeing people after the second week
wearing the iPods,
they're not rude. They're not like, oh my God, this movie
sucks. Fantastic.
And they're probably laughing at parts that you never knew. So you're gonna have to get it just because the backstories are hysterical.
And I'm gonna pip the hell out of that.
Dude, I'm already embittered that I didn't think about that.
That's outstanding.
All right. All right. Thank you guys. Best of luck with the film. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Anderson, Brian O'Halloran, Clerks 2 opens July 21st. Let's take a break here, Kristen. We'll be back after this. Live from Portland, my friends, it is AM 970 Solid State Radio. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Don't go anywhere. We will return after this report from Scott Daly at FilmFeverRadio.com. Stay right there. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show at 2:40. Damn. Look at all that time. We got to give it up, by the way. Let's take this moment before we forget, before we end up at the end of the show. And Tim Riley, you want to join me on this probably. Let us give it up for Kristen Bowie, who produced the show this week. And I got to say, this is not an easy show to produce. I am not an easy person to work with, as some of you may know. B, our show is not perhaps like other radio shows that maybe you have listened to, but certainly not like any radio show that most people have ever worked on. This show really is a Kevin Smith production. It is put together with $3 and caffeine, and that's about it. In a tiny little space, this whole show is like put on someone's credit card, basically. But it's difficult to do because I'm a terrible radio host and don't know what I'm doing. And I never get to anything on time. And I'm easily distracted. I don't have any talent to speak of.
After a while, you just ignore it all, really.
You have no focus.
Yes. I've been fired from everywhere I've ever worked. But we really threw Kristen Bowie here in the deep end on Monday, and she has produced with aplomb. So, Kristen, we'd like to
give it up
to Kristen Bowie, who's done a fan. And the audience, by the way, doesn't hate you the way they hate Scotty.
Terrific. I couldn't ask for anything.
Yeah, no, they've turned on everyone else. They hated Sarah for the first 6 months. They hated me for the first year. They still hate me. they love. And so I
dragged my feet back to music radio.
So no. It is, so we love Sarah. She does a great job, but you have done a fantastic job as well filling in, which is not easy to do. So thanks.
Much.
So Kristen Bowie there. In a weird way, and again, there's no disrespect to anybody else. In a weird way, I'm kind of sad almost that Sarah kind of wasn't here though. Here's why, because she's going to come back on Monday. And I will have checked off like 80% of the things on my to-do before I die list, and she wasn't even here. She wasn't here for the Rickles recap. She wasn't here for Dante and Randall. See, now I'm doing it. Jeff and Brian today. She doesn't know where Otis, Oregon is. We're going to have a whole previously on the Rick Emerson Show when Sarah gets back. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting breaking news. We've been waiting for this. Well, it didn't turn out the way we thought it would. A grand jury has declined. They will not indict Representative Cynthia McKinney in that March incident where she admitted hitting a cop or police officer who tried to stop her from entering a house office building.
No justice, Washington. No peace.
Meanwhile, from Kansas comes word, a 13-year-old girl and her 8-year-old brother are full of welts. After three teens are in trouble.
After they talk back.
And three teens are in trouble as a result. The brother and sister said they were playing on the swings, minding their own business. Suddenly, some older kids claiming to be police officers began firing pellets at them by the dozens.
They were actually, like, getting stung by, like, bees. It hurt like that.
It felt like rocks getting thrown at you by a lawnmower.
How would you know what that felt like?
That kid is too informed.
Does
about
someone
that
not know his place?
This is Kansas.
Someone doesn't speak when, someone speaks when not spoken to.
Someone didn't read the good book when they were told.
Someone's been sparing the rod. All right, here's some.
8-year-old Wesley McNeil, the BB gun shooting victim, one of them says the teen suspects claimed to be police officers.
They were acting like they were police and said, "Stop, freeze, in the name of the law."
They were talking about pressing their chocolate bodies against me. They were saying.
I got nothing.
Meanwhile, needless to say, Sherry McNeil, the mother of the two BB gunshot victims, says she counted 45 welts on her young
child. I found 17 on Wesley, basically on his back and the back of his arms. And Megan was mainly on her back, and there was 28 or 29.
Okay. What can you say? Kansas kids covered in welts. I mean, that really, right there, that should be a song. Fall Out Boy, there's your next song title. Kansas Kids Covered in Welts.
In honor of Father's Day, family counselor and spiritual advisor to the stars, the Rabbi Shumley says American men are broken.
They live in a culture that says to them that the successful guy is only one of two things. He's either famous or rich. There is nothing else. And since 98% of us are neither, we come home broken, feeling like failures. Our professional dreams evaporate by the time we're in our 30s.
What about Zoidberg? If only I wasn't so poor and lonely. It's any excuse to say that.
A 50-year-old Lapine man was accidentally shot early this week by his roommate. Chet Dittweiler was going to...
Yes!
Chet Dittweiler was going to show a shotgun to his roommate, David Ellis. He was walking toward Ellis when he tripped over the carpet tack strip. As he stumbled forward, the gun discharged into Ellis's abdominal area. He tried to call authorities, but the phone didn't work. So he drove the victim to the Lapine Fire Station, who was transported to an area hospital.
The Lapine Fire Station sounds like a paragon of medical health, by the way. I don't even know where Lapine is. It just sounds like a small town where you
it's
die.
It's such the bend.
Jesus.
The record. Happy birthday to Hot Dog on a Stick. They're celebrating
the best news
60
ever.
Years with a convention on Santa Monica Beach.
60 years of lecherous old man standing in raincoats, touching various parts of their body while watching scantily clad women bend over to pick up sticks off the floor.
The company has grown to more than 100 locations across the U.S. with franchises in Australia, Philippines, Indonesia, and Venezuela.
Still can't afford a whole hat for the girls.
Also, a happy 60th birthday to Highlights for Children. That'll bring up torturous memories of the dental office.
Exactly. That's the only place you ever read it, was the dental office.
And they have 2 million subscribers, all doctors and dental offices.
Exactly. All right.
Well, that's it for now.
This has been the best show ever.
I think so.
All right.
There you go, Scott.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim Riley.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Newsman to the stars and your personal savior. We're here with Scott Dowley from FilmFeverRadio.com. We got all this time left over. I don't know what to do. We've done the top five. All of the things that I would normally go to because, like, we need to. Let's do the top five. No, we've already done it. Let's see. I'm going to read you what's on the screen now. Mystery sound, again. Boxing guy wants to punch you. Song about...
Take that guy.
Song about girls cutting themselves. Let's take that. That's a winner. Oh, and he's from Southeast, of course. Right, yeah. Benjamin in Southeast.
Hey, Rick, good to talk to you.
Hey, you got a song about girls cutting themselves.
Yeah, I sent you that email a while back. It took me some time to put it together.
Those are the kind of girls that I like, by the way.
Well, you'll like the song then, probably.
I don't like my girls to have too much self-esteem. I'm sorry, I wouldn't even listen.
The lower the better.
I'm sorry, what?
No, I said, well, then you'll probably like the song. It'll sound like some relationships you've been in.
Thank you. Bada-bing.
So that's you got the MP3 there, recorded it at home.
Is it clean?
Yeah, it could be played on the air, but I did not ask Mr. Billy Joel for his permission to parody his song, so...
What?
Be careful on that one.
I don't know.
I was going to do it as kind of a blues jam, like a blues song.
Right.
But inspiration struck.
Is it like Piano Man?
Is it like a Weird Al version of
Cutting
a
Vein?
Restaurant?
Yeah.
To the tune of She's Always a Woman to Me.
And what is the chorus? You can sing the chorus. If it's clean, sing the chorus now. Please now to be singing the chorus to your song.
All right. Let me get this real quick here. I've got it written down. So the part where it goes up, let's see.
Do you have an instrument?
I don't. I can't do it all at once. I'm holding my phone, but,
all right.
Here you go. Here it goes. No, she cuts on herself to help ease the pain, and she blames it on me. There's just a sample for you.
You keep going.
We got time to kill.
No, sometimes when she puts out, I might get really close, and she changes her mind. There's a lot more of that.
You're a deeply disturbed human being, my friend. I like what we're hearing.
And how long did it take you to write this opus?
You got the MP3, so.
All right, thank you, sir. We'll play it on Monday.
Oh, I got one other thing for you, really quick before I go. The mystery sound, I know this is not it, but what it reminds me of is the sound of a winning ticket printing from a video poker machine at a strip club.
How terribly sad that that's your guess. It sounds like an unemployment check, right, when you're opening it, at the same time that someone is opening a bottle of bottom shelf whiskey in the next room.
Granted,
and your wife is leaving you for another man. Those three sounds together, Rick, that's what it is.
Granted, it's not a lottery machine at, say, Safeway or a gas station, a strip club.
Yeah. It's got to be a strip club.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you. All right. God bless you. Do you have any films to review?
Hey, we...
it doesn't matter.
I brought in Dante Randall.
No, you earned a couple weeks.
Thank you.
No, you've got credit with us. You've got political capital.
Actually, there's a fantastic episode of Film Fever Radio up. I believe it's going to be up this afternoon. But we review four films in this episode. It's fantastic. It's the best show we've ever done. You're going to love it, everybody.
I'm sorry, I stopped listening. What?
Yeah. Film Fever Radio, episode X.
Oh.
It's up.
Okay.
It's ready to go. It's a fantastic show. We review tons of films, DVDs. We talk about Aaron's miniature Star Wars figures, and we just it's a fun show. So,
okay.
There's my thing.
I'm trying to find the. No, I'm not ignoring.
No, of course not.
I really am.
I understand.
No, somebody asked about air checks, and I'm trying to find them.
We were going to do that.
I know, but we didn't. Hold on, I'm trying to find. You can shut your mouth. I'm doing the best I can over here.
I can see if they're still
there
downstairs.
We're back up
for another 20 minutes.
Okay, I don't know where Tim... we have Tim's... Okay, should we play a Tim Riley air check or a Rick Emerson air check?
Ooh.
You pick.
Let's hear a little bit of... I wouldn't say a little bit of Rick Taylor.
Let's see here.
Tim would be great to hear, too.
Yeah. And never pick your name out of a phone book, by the way. Oh, let's see. That's clearly... No, that's... let's see, hold on. I don't know, where did I put Tim's? I'm not trying to avoid playing them.
While you're finding that, can I just say, I think that podcast idea that Kevin Smith had for the running commentary.
Let's not talk about that idea.
Is beautiful.
Oh, I hate you.
Because they're releasing it 2 weeks after the film comes out, which is going to make all of us download the podcast, bring our little iPods, MP3 players into the theater, and watch Clerks again.
No, I know, it's a great idea.
Brilliant.
No,
brilliant.
It really is, I know. All right. I can't find Tim's air checks. I may have to play one of mine here.
Oh, okay.
Which, believe me, it's not like I'm trying to do it. I have them.
Gee, Tim's mysteriously disappeared, but look, I've got all mine
right
here.
Look, but let's pay more attention to me, Rick Emerson. And those of you who have heard these air checks know that I'm not necessarily clamoring to play them. I just, Tim gave me an air check or two of his, and I just don't know where I put them. Well, in the meantime, I'll just play a couple of these. So this is, because Christian has done, you've done several music formats now?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What's your favorite? What's the worst music format you've done?
What musical format did you hate the most? Or is it a place where you are currently employed? I'm sensing a little hesitation there, like perhaps you're not done working in that format.
Well, I interned over at NRK when they were playing Good Charlotte and Simple Plan and everything, and that was pretty horrific.
That'll make you drink, yeah.
Yeah, I got stalked by 13-year-olds at every single concert.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, here we go. So here we've got Tim at a country station. Tim at, I think... 92.7. I think he's like, it's a love song show, and then Tim doing a commercial.
I want to hear the country station, Tim.
All right. Well, this is K-Hey. I think we've already played this, but... No, it's true. It's a station called...
call letters in the world.
Call it's a station ever. Called K-Hey.
Love that.
It's K-Hey for your country favorites. Whoa. One more payment, and it's mine. If this is the moment we've been waiting for. Well, one of them anyway. We're going to give you a chance now to go on the air... and do some jungle noises. We have it on the line. Babs Mint of Ojai.
Hi, Babs Mint.
Are you excited about this?
Yes, I am.
Now, if we like it, you get tickets for two to the Jungle Brunch Party at the Elephant Bar, Simi Valley, coming up on
Radio's
the 19th.
The worst
now, we want
career
some jungle noises
in the world.
Out of you, Babs. What was that again?
What?
Oh, wait, let's go back, though. She was...
Babs.
Wait.
What was that again?
That was a giraffe.
Would you repeat that, please?
Do giraffes even make sounds?
No. Not unless you're hitting them with a shovel.
Sounds like she's beating a squeaky toy with a shovel.
Then they whimper a little.
There's a giraffe.
Oh, a giraffe.
If you set them on fire, they make noise.
I never got up there to a giraffe. I suppose that's an acceptable giraffe. You got any other ones? We'll give you one more quick one. Ooh,
oh,
that's a monkey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you make a great monkey.
Only in country radio.
You make a great monkey.
This is for food, right?
That'll get you attention.
Do giraffes even live in the jungle?
Yeah,
well, I'll tell you
she's
what.
A hick. What does she know?
Tickets for she's supposed to be a K-Hey.
Yeah,
up
seriously. Really? Like, how much schooling could she possibly have had?
What's your favorite place to make a monkey?
There it is.
Babs?
K-Hey.
It probably, but here's the thing, it probably took her like four different tries to get that right, and he had to chop it up on the Atari with like a razor blade.
Country 101, oh, that Babs Mints of Ojai. I never heard of that.
That's fixing.
We learn something new every night, don't we, with Jungle Sauce from K-Hey. Don Sinclair plays again tomorrow. Your chance to win tickets to the Elephant Bar Jungle Brunch Club.
This is Tim Riley as a DJ.
Well, it's going to be clear, and thankfully the winds are dying down. Lows tonight in the 50s, sunny later on, not quite as windy.
K-Hayes in California.
And 90s in the inland valleys.
I think it's
right
in Pasadena.
Santa Barbara's got 58, it is 68 in L.A., and 56 at continuous new country.
See, and the weird thing is, okay, here's the weird thing. In this very same month, we figured out what month this was. It was like February of 91 or something like that. But the same year, I was also working at a continuous country in a whole different part of the...
Really?
A whole different part of the country. I was working at a continuous country station. That's what they called themselves.
But at 0.7, KHEY, you know where your band is tonight. That's Pam Tillis. Good morning. This is KHEY's continuing fire coverage. Tim Riley here along with Bill DeFoy in the newsroom. And do you realize, Bill, that the astronauts aboard the space shuttle... can see all the smoke over Southern California this morning.
I had heard about that, but, you know, I hadn't really thought about it until this. But, yeah, they would.
I've heard about it, but I didn't think about it.
Wondering, where is the big picnic at? Well, it's right in our own backyard.
All right, so there you go. So that's Tim. That's Tim as a country.
This is early 90s, 91?
Yeah, can you turn this up, pot this up just a little bit on the board? Let's see, here's because the fidelity on these is not. This is Tim doing a commercial. This is Tim Riley doing a radio commercial from, like, 1980, it says here. Wow.
Sweetheart, isn't this romantic? A walk in the woods on a snowy evening. Reminds me of that Robert Frost.
I don't understand this commercial.
Sounds like she's in a bag.
In the trunk or something.
Oh, sweetie.
Oh, hon, isn't this great?
You're on your way to your death.
Here comes the lake.
Okay. Let's listen in and see what the commercial turns out to be, you cynical bastards. Let's listen, though.
Ah, sweetheart, isn't this romantic? A walk in the woods on a snowy evening. Reminds me of that Robert Frost poem. You know, miles to go before we sleep. Hey, you can't hear a thing I'm saying with a scarf around your face.
I'll say we have miles to go before we sleep. We're lost.
Hey, wait a minute. Listen. Sounds like a snowmobile. Help!
That's production value.
You just threw her in front of the snowmobile.
Oh, my name's Pierre. I'd take you out of the woods on my Arctic Cat snowmobile.
Oh, how can I say
that? Is that Tim doing an Eskimo?
Rick is summoning Tim at this moment.
Are you the woman?
Okay, so this is Tim Riley, by the way, playing the Eskimo. So you gotta be careful. Your laugh is overpowering it here. But I know that this is Tim Riley as both man and Eskimo.
Listen, sounds like a snowmobile. Help! Over here!
What's the matter? You lost? Well, my name Pierre. I'd take you out of woods on my Arctic Cat snowmobile.
The offensive racial stereotype.
Come to my cabin,
Eskimo
lady.
Eskimo named Pierre.
Oh, big
laughs. Come on, baby. Sit in front with me. Skinny boyfriend, you sit in back.
Such a nice ride.
He's a French
Arctic Cat has independent suspension.
It feels so powerful.
It has a low forward mounted engine, and they have 8 models for 1980.
I'd Jesus like to have God. Myself.
See, the all new 1980 Arctic Cat snowmobiles at Greens Marine, Route 3, Daniel Webster Highway, North Hooksett.
Yeah.
Is this the House of Gelinas?
Yes, this is the House of Gelatus. Come in.
I don't believe it. All these pianos and organs. I can understand all the noise.
All of these organs.
Okay, you guys, back it up. We got company.
Have a seat. Make yourself at home.
Oh, gee, thanks. Oh, I'm sorry.
You just sat on a Wurlitzer organ.
Honey, wake up. There's someone downstairs.
I'll get him. Hey, what are you doing in here?
I don't understand what it's a commercial for.
Light bulbs.
Hey, how can you steal hot light bulbs?
I use the Ferretti's Market WKBR Mighty Grip. Helps you to remove bulbs without burning your hands.
I never thought of that. Mighty Grip has lots of handy household uses.
Yeah, and it's available at Ferretti's Market for 10 cents with each $10 purchase.
Jesus,
yeah,
God.
We had one.
Here, take this one.
Oh, how can we thank you?
I'll take your color TV.
Oscar, my ring just rolled under the refrigerator.
That it figures. I'll get it. Terrific. I'm late for work as it is, and I tear my trousers.
Is this the same commercial?
Oh, thanks, baby. These are covered with cat hair. How many times have I told you to keep that bag of bones away from my clothes?
Don't worry about it. Mighty Grip can take lint and animal hair off clothes in a jiffy.
Mighty Grip.
See?
Yeah. Hey, I thought that Mighty Grip just opened bottles.
No, it has a lot of handy uses. Mighty Grip is available for 10 cents with every $10 purchase at Ferretti's Market.
That's that flat rubber thing that you use to open mayonnaise jars.
I don't understand what is happening anywhere here.
Not only is it available for a dime, but it's only available for a dime when you buy $10 worth of crap.
I don't have anything to play that is better than that.
You can't follow that up, really.
I can't. There's no way. There you go, kids. Tim Riley. Okay, Kristen, so no matter how badly you feel, no matter how terrible it may be working in whatever format, whatever stations you may work at in your life, you've never had to be an Eskimo selling Mighty Grip Day in Pierre. Jesus. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Well, all right. We got like a minute here, a minute and a half. Let's see. What do I have? Hold on. Let's just find out.
I can run down what's opening this week.
All right. Hold on. CJ?
Yeah.
You calling about boxing?
Yeah.
I had a vegetarian challenge me to a boxing match yesterday.
Yeah. Old Mick Rick. I was going to see, I actually did some leg work. I got a hold of Joe Ring over at CD Game Exchange.
Yes, sir.
It turns out that his new store in Milwaukee happens to be a former boxing ring.
So this is the actual, we actually could actually have this match at a sponsor. That would be handy.
Yeah, he said he'd be willing to sponsor it. We could, he's got gloves, he's got the ring.
All right.
All we got to do is have you show up.
All right. Well, let's remind me to talk about this on Monday. Call Monday about this. Don't let me forget.
I was kind of thinking this will kind of be like a Gallagher thing as your blood is sprayed across the first three rows. So maybe we should bring like some Visqueen or something too.
Okay. I got to go now, CJ.
Bye, man.
All right. Bye now. All right. Hey, Scotty, we don't have time for Pete. I'm sorry. Pete is calling about the mystery sound. Pete, there's no time to be fair to another caller here. Scott Daly?
It's a stellar day in the film release.
I don't even have to say whore anymore. You know.
No, I know. Pimp. I know. FilmFeverRadio.com, everybody. Episode X. Our 10th episode of Film Fever Radio this
Fantastic.
Week.
And thank you, by the way, again, just for bringing in Jeff Anderson, Brian O'Halloran, from Clerks 2. You are the man.
My pleasure.
Yes, you are now back in good stead.
Thank you. I'm good for a few weeks.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. It was great.
And I think that's it. Scotty J., we want to thank Scotty J. for doing the for being strapped into a pace car. We didn't get a chance to really recap that, but he's here. But Scotty, by the way, let's take a moment to applaud Scotty J. He graduated today from college.
Yeah.
He's now done. Today he's graduated. He's now finished. So he can, so he will be back in the, back on the show in the studio with us on Monday, and so forth. And again, thanks to, Kristen Bowie, for helping to ably fill in. Sarah X. Dillon returns from Manhattan on, Monday, and she'll give the whole lowdown on stalking celebrities and her hot sister. So all of that. See, I can say that she's not here. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. We want to thank Jeff Anderson, Brian O'Halloran, all of that. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. We're back Monday at noon, 69 hours from now. Like us next, World Famous Bill Hendricks Show at 7, and so forth, as always. And I'll let the bastards run. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all on Monday. Have a safe weekend. See you then. Bye.